That means you got a home game. We're going to be doing that throughout the rest of the season. Looking forward to that. Nick Calling, I remember that simply because of the Calling Baton Rouge reference that we had last week. He joins us on Mondays now at 12:45 to go over not only what took place over the weekend for the Gold, but the rest of Major League Rugby and the rest of the games. Anything standing out and helping us? So when we come out here, kind of an idea what's going on here as well. As the captain's run is underway, as we learned last week. That is basically Ryan Fitzgerald, the walkthrough.
Yeah.
Getting ready for tomorrow afternoon's game.
Yep. Yeah, another term for NFL be the walkthrough, and called captain's run, because it's pretty much just led by the captains, you know, kind of going through, just, you know, walking through the X's and O's of the game plan for the week.
Love that, as always. We'll get Nick to preview a little bit of, and give us a little insight as to who Anthem is. It's a new team and all of that, but just overall, Ryan, you got to like getting off to a 1-0 start. We talked with Coach back on Wednesday. When you sit here and you look at just getting off to good starts, it is important. The Gold has gotten off to a couple of good starts here in the past.
Yeah, I think no matter what sport you're playing, whether it's baseball and it's 162, or if it's NBA and it's 82, whatever it is, football 16, rugby 16, I think winning that opening day and getting that buzz going and getting that feel right off the bat and getting that one out of the way is massive. Past couple years, unfortunately, we had a couple, you know, kind of started off a little slow with some 0-1 starts. And, you know, back in 2019, we started off with a 3-0 start. And it's always nice to be on top right off the bat. But even if it's one game in the standings, to look at that standings and see 1-0 and you're right up at top versus a couple teams at the bottom, it seems like sometimes, you know, just getting that first one off the bat gets you rolling. So, and the crowd was electric. It was our highest opening day crowd we've ever had. And you could feel it, and the players could feel it. When we first went over and then scored, Jordan Jackson Hope scored in the corner here, the place erupted.
One of the things that I was referring to with Nick when he joined us on Monday, too, is you never really know. And we spoke about it with Coach on Wednesday. Look, you have plans. You have ideas. You put the roster together. I know you spent time with, whether it's the draft or getting new players, you bring in a new coach and all that, but until there's rugby on the field, you really kind of don't know how they're going to go. And Nick, we talked about it on Monday, reading the recap and looking at it, adjustments at halftime, and then you started seeing certain things that are perhaps part of the philosophy or the traits that are going to be on this team, huh?
Yeah, most definitely. I think it was important after halftime we began seeing the bench come on, and it's a 23-man roster. You only have 8 subs, and it's like soccer in which once you come out, you're out for the game. So it's not a rolling sub type thing that we're used to in American sports. So those bench players came on, and they were absolutely electric, and it really speaks to the depth that we have as a team that allows us to do those type of things where, you know, we might be down at halftime 0-6 and bring a few guys on, and they're just able to provide that lightning bolt strike and bring some energy to the team. And that's what really happened. Specifically brought them right in. There was a scrum right in front of the post, about 10 meters, pushed over the scrum and scored a try off of it. And that's not often that you get a try scored off a opposing team's scrum, and we did it. So it was really that kind of just...
The guys that came on off the bench just made a massive impact, you know, and Reese Botha, you know, young kid, you know, 23 years old, he comes on and just, he's got some guts and he's got some, you know, and he pulled... They did, you know. Sometimes I think that's half the battle. A lot of times people get stuck in rugby sometimes with the starters and trust the starters, which of course you do. But at the same time, you got to trust your bench. It's like Nick said, you only have 23 players on the, you know, on the pitch, and you only have 8 subs. You got to be able to use them, and everybody's got to be able to have an impact. You know, all glory that game specifically. A couple of those guys were going, especially in the front row. You know, Jack Ascaro at number one for All Glory, going 78, 79 minutes. We had Bart Vermeulen come in on his debut with 60 to go, and his first impact is that scrum penalty that pushed him right over. So that was massive.
You got to like that for sure. Speaking with General Manager Ryan Fitzgerald, the Nola Gold, they'll take on a brand new team into MLR. Coming up tomorrow at 3 o'clock, Nick Calling as well with the rugby. Coming up with the Nola Gold at 105, Madeline Adams is going to talk to us coming up later tonight. I say tonight, it's really around the corner. Pels will be taking on the 76ers. That is a 6 p.m. tip-off. Madeline Adams will be joining us from Fox 8 as that game will be on Fox 8. Another one of those games there. 115, Rafael Esparza, Jeff Boggs from ESPN Bets. We're going to join us at 145, Marlon Favorite, 215, and at 230, Leo Haggerty here as well. So tomorrow, Nick, you guys take on a team that, what, is it an expansion team or did they move? Is it an expansion team?
Yeah, it's an expansion team. Just think, like we talked about on Monday, think about a NFL team and an NBA team that started up at the start of training camp. That's where they're at. Big kudos to everybody in the organization for getting something put together this quickly. It definitely wasn't easy, but it's one that it is more of an expansion team that you're not going to see the same type of stars that we have on some of these other MLR teams.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, there's a lot of young guys that are super hungry. We just talked about Reese Botha. You know, that kind of same energy of these guys that are hungry, wanting to make an impact, wanting to stay in the league as long as they can. And this is kind of just their ability to debut. It's going to be an exciting game. You know, they're going to bring a lot of energy. They're going to be doing a lot of, you know, kind of new type things because they have really nothing to fear for. And those are the games that can get you sometimes. So we just got to play our game and show them that, you know, we've got the experience and we've been here before.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, it's one of those things that makes a lot of sense to be able to come out there, and you want to take advantage of getting those wins here for sure. Ryan, who we got coming up here, bud?
Yeah, we got right here, actually, Jared Adams and Jonah Ma'u. Both these players, Jared Adams is a returning player from last year, debuting this season, was out last week, but is starting this week at number one, and Jonah Ma'u is making his second straight start at number seven. Actually, he got our belt this week, which is an in-house award that goes to the toughest dog, or a guy that would, you know, battle and was a beast all game, and he got it this week and was also named to, he had four players that were named to the MLR Team of the Week this week as well, so I'll give it up to him here.
All right, well, who's coming up here first? All right, sounds good, Jared.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, well, obviously, when you hear what Ryan had to say there, just being able to get to that first win, how big is it in that first game of the season?
Starting off on a win, it's always a tough one. You wanna get the season off to a good roll straight away. And traditionally, I think NOLA hasn't won their first game in the last 4 years. I think.
Yeah.
So it's good for confidence. And work on that consistency, what we've been saying all season.
When you get that first game of the season, what are some of the things you guys are looking for to try to do there on the pitch?
I think what Jared's talking about is we want to set the tone for us for the season-long adventure. For that first game, it's kind of like, you know, getting a gauge of where we might sit in the competition. So I think you're always going to want to win, but as well, I think it was just building that foundation for us for what we want to achieve going forward.
Now, look, I've never played rugby, but every now and then I'll try to go play like some basketball or something like that. And when you haven't done it in a while, the lungs are a little, you know, they burn a bit. The legs are a little jello. What's that first game sort of like? Because you can train and you can scrimmage, and I know you guys did that before the regular season, but how long does it sort of take? And I bring that up because first half to second half looked a little different.
Yeah. You can't really train it, really. That's the easiest way to say it.
Right.
This might be my first game this week, so we'll soon tell how the lungs are.
How his lungs going to feel?
Well, yeah, I mean, he's been here before last year, so
sure.
I think for me, my first game ever in the States, it took a toll, so I guess you could see that difference in the first half and the second half, whereas, you know, for some of us who hadn't played here before, you know, it takes a hit on the lungs, but I guess you get used to it, and then you find your feet, and then, being the team that won, I guess we kind of found our feet early. So,
what was the difference between the first half and second half there?
I guess for us, it was trying to roll phases together and actually try and not score off the first phase. So, I think for us, it was getting consistent phases that we were able to score. So, yeah, I think that was the difference.
I think one of the cool things last week where we were talking about just roster setup and getting, you know, the ability and chance to play, I love hearing, and obviously it's a rugby thing, right, earning your chance to play in the game and getting that jersey and earning that. So it's got to be a big thing. Obviously, I know you were here as well, but it is. Is it, I guess, what I'm trying to get at, as exciting still every single time you find out you're getting in on the action?
Yeah, well, a good team always has healthy culture, which means there's good competition out there, which makes you want to get their jersey even more. I know for myself, getting my first game this week, I'm pretty pumped. Keen to show what I got and what I can offer.
I love that. All right, so tell us a little bit about the opponent. I was talking to Ryan and Nick a little bit about it. You don't know much about your opponents. Or is this one of those clear games of, hey, go out and focus on what you guys are going to do?
Yeah, I guess that's basically our concept. Every game is to focus on us and do what we can do, control what we can control. With a team like them coming new into the comp, I guess it's we're expecting the unexpected. So it's just knowing that they could come at any angle, and we just got to be prepared for it. So we just kind of still see them as a threat all over the park. So we're just making sure that we control what we can control, mm-hmm. which is our systems, our play.
And obviously, having been here last year, you understand it's going to get warmer here yeah. in the next couple of weeks and months. So tomorrow it's not. It's going to be beautiful again. What was it like to have the highest attendance opening crowd last weekend?
Man, being in the stands last week was crazy. Almost a full house on that side. Mm-hmm. And I think for us is try to get some points on the board, bring the crowd into it early on.
Sure.
I think last week we didn't do too well in that first half. But as soon as we got a try, the crowd lifted. It lifts the spirits. I think, like, I know when you're playing and you get a loud crowd, it motivates you a little bit more. That home field advantage. So once we get points on the board and start rolling, the crowd is going to yeah. really play a big part.
In rugby, they talk about it as that, like, 16th man. And yeah. it's like they play a big part, yeah. you know. It's real good to have a good culture and community behind us, and that when they see good footy being played on our side, they're just going to back us. It's going to lift us even more.
Yeah, final thing for you, and we'll hit the bottom of the hour break and continue speaking a little NOLA Gold Rugby out here as we're live at the Gold Mine. Along those lines, man, being able to get these starts early and, you know, your first two games being at home and continuing that to where by the next time you do come back home, hey, you're going to have a couple more wins, or just getting that culture going in there. It is kind of big, huh?
Yeah, it's massive. I mean, again, rugby is a growing sport in America, so I guess the more that we can do on our end and show them what we've got, I guess it's just going to bring in more people, more eyes, and more everything, I guess. Yeah.
So. All right, so who's the early front runner you think is going to win the belt for toughest player this week, you think?
Oh, Jonah, it would be hard to defend, really. Easy to take down for you, ankle tap, Jaron.
Oh, yeah, there he is.
Easy enough. I love that. Thank you guys. Appreciate it so much.
Yeah, thanks,
all right,
guys.
Quick break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more with the NOLA Gold coming up at the top of next hour. Malin Adams, as we'll start previewing a little bit of the Pelicans taking on the 76ers tonight. But up next, we'll continue as we're live from the Gold Mine. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Welcome back to the Gold Mine on Airline. The NOLA Gold taking on Anthem tomorrow at 3 p.m. See if I can do this right. Ross Deppersmith.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm Cattendale, so I get butchered all the time when it comes to that. I love what Ryan was kind of telling us a story. Started as a tryout player.
Yes,
come
sir.
On here, and a couple of years later, what, you got 11 tackles?
Yes, sir. Yeah, last weekend, yeah. Busy defensive week last week.
So tell me what it's like to actually go through the tryout.
Yeah, so that was actually just the second year of the MLR. So it was relatively new in the States. The academy system we had in place here, and then from there kind of earned my spot on the NOLA Gold roster.
One of the things that's interesting, I think, that I picked up when we were talking with Nick a couple of weeks ago, I'm driving by and I'm seeing, you know, East Jefferson had a rugby practice going on, and Nick's like, no, a bunch of schools in around here do that and played a game after, you know, y'all on Saturday and things of that nature. I know in colleges you have a lot of club teams and things like that, but to be able to actually play major league rugby, that is a big thing in the States as it's growing, isn't it?
Oh, it's massive, yeah. Like you said, it's great that we actually have a lot of players that reach out to the local schools and clubs and go help coach and try to grow the sport in the city, because it's only going to pay dividends for the major league too.
What's the biggest thing that you've seen in the growth since you started here as a, you know, tryout player, getting a spot to do that second year of MLR, as you said, to where we are now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, obviously, just the fan buy-in. There's obviously a lot more fans in the stands now on a weekend basis. You can just tell the popularity of the TV deals. Guys are learning about the sport, getting educated about it, which is huge, because obviously, you know, you grew up watching football, baseball, basketball, the traditional American sports. So then for them to get introduced to the rugby side of it, it's huge.
Right. I think one of the things that's interesting as well, when you look at this team getting out to the starts, getting back to the postseason, how key was it for you guys to get a win? Just in the opening with the new coach and new system and new philosophy?
Yeah, it's massive, because actually the previous 2 years, we actually started 0-3, and obviously it's not a great start to the year. Kind of kills the vibes around here. So with the new coach coming in, a lot of new players, a lot of turnover from last year, it's really crucial in building our confidence moving forward for the rest of the year.
Okay. What what do you see with this roster that you think can make y'all a competitive team and, you know, get to the postseason again?
Yeah, I think we've really been drilling the whole preseason and this early week one. It's just the mindset. Mm-hmm. And we've built that culture the first few weeks here now. Just the mindset, the physicality, you know, dominating, not quitting. You know, last week we were pretty rough first half, down 6-0, but could have been a lot worse. But we held our own in our territory here and had a big second half. So,
how much is it? Is it mindset? Because obviously, two of the guys that your teammates that just came on, I mean, they look like characters that, yeah, you know, would be in a, like, you know, bouncers, or, you know, the, yeah, guy looked like, Jared looks like, I'm trying to think, Moana, man, yeah, The Rock, yeah, that character there, right?
Yeah.
And then at the same time, though, you have 11 tackles, and I mean that, yeah, respectfully, but it's just a mindset, right, about being physical and trying to go out there and stick your head in
it. Yeah, definitely. Like you said, you know, big men, but there's big men on both sides of the ball, right? Those guys are getting paid, too, yeah, the opposition. And so what it comes down to, it's not, you know, everybody lifts the weights, everybody does the hard yards, so it comes down to really that mindset and who wants it more, and that last week.
Things I always wanted to talk to you about, I know Nick was talking about it, too. When you think of this, you guys don't have pads and all that stuff. You say it's actually safer than tackle football a lot of areas and times like that. Why do you think that is? Is there just an understanding of how to try to bring people down, technique that way? I don't know. Explain that to me.
Yeah, so it's definitely all technique, I would say. And when people say safer, it's mainly referring to the lack of concussions as, okay, opposed to the American football. American football, you know, I started playing Pee when I was young, too. You're always taught lead with your face mask, put the head and the ball across the body, sure, and that always leads to the head collisions, whereas in rugby, you don't have the helmet to use as a weapon, so you have to use your shoulders. So you're putting your, you know, cheek-to-cheek on the tackle, and you're putting your body in the correct positions to avoid injury.
Interesting. When you look at a game like tomorrow, how important is it not only to continue what you guys did last week, but maybe get off to that first start? You got a nice second half,
yeah,
but having a game under your belt, do you think that helps a bit?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, you know, it's always it was a big atmosphere, the home opener. I think we might have set record attendance, too, here. So there's a lot going on externally. And so, you know, not to use it as an excuse, but now that we have that under our belt, we can kind of get the jitters out of the way. We, yeah, can come out and just focus on rugby this week and hopefully take it to
but it is, right? I mean, it, yeah, is a bit of a difference. Yeah. And when we talked with Corey Brown, your new head coach for this year, you can kind of hear it in his voice. He has an idea what he wants to do in tactical style. Is that how different can coaches sort of be, and how important, I guess, the tactical aspect and game plan element of rugby sort of is? Because it's almost like soccer, right, where you're the action never stops, so you're kind of playing what you're seeing in front of you.
Definitely.
It's not like in football, obviously, you're calling a play and you're doing timeouts and things of that nature. So,
yeah, so it's,
how's
it's,
that different?
It's massive, obviously, to have that game plan coming in. But like you said, you know, football, you have a 6-second play followed by like a 30-second brief period where you can call a different play, whereas when we're on the field for, you know, 40 continuous minutes, you have to be able to adapt on the fly. And so that's huge. So you go in with the game plan, and you want to play in the right areas of the field, and you want to be direct or physical, but then it's ultimately up upon the players to adapt to what we see.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, having been here a couple of seasons already, I'll ask you, as I asked your teammates here and Ryan, how big was it to actually have the size crowd that you had last week?
Oh, massive. Like I said, that first half, we actually didn't get off on the right foot. Right. And there's a couple times they're on our goal line, you know, threatening to score, and we can just feel the energy from the stands lifting up, guys hooting and hollering, and no chance, and it gets us going. It gives us energy, and we can fight back for it.
I love that. Now, you did mention Alabama. Ryan didn't want me to do that. I mean, it is what it is. That's where you went to school. I can't imagine after a game that the Tide player win, you can go hang out with Nick Saban and do all those things. That's got to be one of the cool elements of rugby. They got the party shack. Literally, the game ends. You can go over there and hang out and chat with you and chat with the rest of your teammates and talk to the coach. How key is that to kind of developing that relationship and culture and setting MLR apart, perhaps?
Yeah, like you said, it's just, you know, that's a, you know, rugby tradition is the culture of it. The aspect is that no matter what, you fight for, you know, 80 minutes on the field, but then you're able to, you know, with opposition, with the coaching staff, the fellow players, go have a beer afterwards and shake hands.
I was what brought to my attention here, you guys give an award for the toughest player. It was the belt?
Yeah, so, yeah, the workhorse of the game.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
What other different little awards you guys have in there?
So we obviously have the man of the match, just, you know, the best performance, whereas the workhorse is more who embodies, like, the character of what we have built so far.
You know, based on how many scratches and bruises and how much blood?
To an extent, yeah. You know, big collisions, lost tooth in this case this week. Jonah lost three teeth, the guy you were just talking to.
He lost three?
I think, yeah.
No, I mean, it's the very least you can do is
exactly.
Get him
a dental plan or a belt. We got him the belt, yeah.
Lost 3. Yeah. Have you ever lost any teams?
Not playing rugby. They chipped a couple during
not
football.
Not playing
yeah.
rugby.
Yeah.
That's yeah. interesting.
Yeah, got to keep that mouth guard in. Yeah.
I love that, man. Yeah. Tell us one thing for fans that are coming tomorrow. Maybe they didn't come last weekend. They're coming tomorrow. What is something to expect from this team when they see tomorrow?
Yeah, you're going to see us trying to go out there and dominate physically. It could be some big collisions, playing direct, some exciting plays. You know, it can be creative on the attack side of the ball. We're going to give it our full effort. So come on out, give us the support, and we're returning the favor.
I love that, Russ. Thank you for your time. Appreciate your work out here, going up and down the steps, by the way. But when you think of something from that aspect, and I don't know, we've talked about the growth, and we will throughout the season here. When you hear a story like that, a tryout player comes in, and now a couple of seasons later, as Ryan says last week, and you know, he has the kind of game that
and we all work together on that. We have weekly calls with our youth coordinators that are trying to make sure that everything, all the things that they're learning on a weekend basis with their own communities is shared with these other teams that they can do similar things to help grow rugby in their respective markets. So, like I said, this is the first kind of draft class this past year that we see rugby players going through the whole entire 4 years of their college career with MLR, and it's going to only explode from here. You're getting more and more players coming from the European nations that are big into rugby, South Africa, all these big nations that the players are playing at a young age. They're now beginning seeing the MLR as a possible opportunity for them as they want to become a professional rugby player. And then further, it's helping grow, you know, just the Americans that are here too. Those programs are beginning to get full-time coaches. They're going from club to actually having stuff from the athletic department, getting scholarships, all those type of things that you just didn't see in the past for someone like a Ross. And so big kudos to the people like Ross who painstakingly paid for their own way through the club side, all those type of things. That it's now paying off, and that's kind of the story of the MLR. In the beginning, these teams, you know, there was a lot of times that peanut butter and jelly sandwich is probably what you got for lunch, and now, you know, we have a full-on cook that cooks for us every single day. Absolutely amazing job that Lennon does, and it's amazing. That type of growth is just continually what we see at every single aspect from not only just the MLR, but in every aspect of rugby from the youth all the way up to college and then here into the league.
Ryan, we talk about culture all the time, the importance of it, whether it's Saints, Pels, Gold, LSU, Tulane, whatever, the importance of doing that when you have a guy like that that does that. That helps that culture, right? That's kind of one of those foundational pieces where it's hard to come in and maybe I'm tired, or maybe, hey, I have all the talent, but I'm not performing when I have a guy literally earning every aspect of it to get onto that field.
Yeah, hope and opportunity go a long way, you know, and not just in rugby, but life in general. You know, you give a guy like Ross had hope, had believed in himself, and, you know, giving him opportunity, didn't give him anything. You know, we didn't promise him anything. You know, gave him an opportunity, and he delivered. He didn't miss, you know, and expect nothing less from a guy like that. You know, valedictorian that from Alabama University in engineering. His engineering program, smart guy, he's going to be successful no matter what he does, but he's one of those first in, last out kind of guys, and that's what it takes. And, you know, it's like Nick said, it's just awesome that this is a sport that stemmed from that and came from that. Everybody started at the grassroots before there was professional rugby in 2018. Everybody was playing men's. It cost you money to play rugby, going on the road to go play the Dallas Reds, you know, here in New Orleans men's team, playing another men's team. You know, you had a regular day job, 9 to 5, you know, so for it to be professional now, it's unbelievable.
Ryan Fitzgerald, general manager of Renault Gold, Nick Halling as well, part... All right, welcome back. Having some issues over there with the connection. And so at 1 o'clock, we're going to call it here. And we'll, you know, try to get as much in as we can here. So our apologies to our guests coming up later on today. We'll try to get some things on, but out of our control. But tomorrow at 3 o'clock, man, for people to come out here and check out what's going on, the importance of starting 2-0, we kind of touched on it, in Anthem and not knowing who they are. But what do you want to see from your team tomorrow?
Physicality. I think that we have a really strong side that we're putting out there, and we're a big side, especially in the scrum and in the pack. I think that we can really get an edge there and win that fight in the trenches. You know, I think if we could dominate that up front, especially in that first 20 minutes, kind of set the tone and bully them, I think they'll fold and execute. Play loose, have fun. But right off the bat, dominate and set the tone early. I think that we will have the upper hand throughout the entire 80 minutes, and keep it on them. So, get out of here 2-0. Get on the road for 2 weeks. You know, going to New England after that, going to Dallas, all on Charlotte. You know, and on Anthem. And like I said, like we talked about earlier, they're an expansion team. Yes, but they have guys that have played in the league. They have guys that are up and coming guys that want to be in the league, and they're filled with they're hungry. You know, they're filled. Excitement and. Excited to be here, excited to be on an expansion team, and you have nothing to lose. Sometimes when you're playing with house money, that's a scary thing that you want to keep an eye on. When you're playing against someone or competing against someone, fighting, boxing, UFC, as someone that has nothing to lose and they're picked to lose, kind of week in and week out because they're an expansion team and they haven't got off and rolling yet, that's a dangerous thing. So we got to take care of business early, and our guys are professionals, and I think we'll get out of there, and we're excited for it.
But you were telling me, too, when you look at a team like this, they're just happy to just kind of get, going. I mean, and it's crazy when you think of how much work goes into this. And Ryan, I know, obviously, look, we text all the time throughout the season, off season, the work you guys do in the draft. I mean, like, could you imagine just trying to you have a week, and then you have to go out there and try to play? It's tough, right?
Like Nick said, hats off to them. There's a lot of guys in the lot of guys on that team that have already been in the league. They did do an expansion draft, They did a little bit of an expansion draft, but it's more of also every team had to put up a few names that Charlotte was able to at least have a chat with, negotiate with, maybe guys that you were releasing anyways, or guys that became free agents. So there are some there is some talent in there for sure for guys that have played in the league already and guys that, like I said, that are on the rise, coming out of college, maybe have a couple games under the belt, excited. And those are the ones you got to keep your eye on. So hats off to Charlotte, and we're looking forward to hosting them and looking also forward to dominating them.
Dang, it is what it is, right? Nobody apologizes for injuries or things of that nature. Is that how you kind of look at it for people that are coming out tomorrow to look at this? What are some of the things to kind of keep an eye on here? Keys to victory.
Yeah, just, again, they're going to be very youthful. It's one of those that they don't have much to lose, so they're going to probably throw in maybe a few things that surprise you a little bit. It's, Tulane does it all the time when they play back in the years when they played LSU regularly. You got to throw in a couple interesting things that catch them off guard. And when it comes down to it, we just got to pay attention to what we want to do, focus on ourselves. That's what we have to do in week in, week out. Don't have a lot of film on them, but at the end of the day, our expertise, that type of stuff, is really what we want to lean on. Is we have the experience being in the league.
Right.
A lot of these guys are going to celebrate after the game. It's their first cap for Anthem. It's their first game they've played as a professional rugby player, first game they played in America. And it's one of those that we have to play as the experienced individual. We have to go out there and play as, like they say, you need to show that you've been there before, and we've been there before. Mm-hmm. So it's just one of those games that we got to do those type of things right, and everything should fall in line. But we can't be overlooking. Can't be overlooking right now.
And the exciting thing, too, is we have the fan base of New Orleans in our own backyard.
Well, that's
right,
what
here,
I was going to say.
I cannot thank the fans enough that came out last week, the fans that are planning on coming tomorrow.
Yeah.
Cannot thank enough the fans that are listening to this and considering coming out tomorrow. Please say yes. We need you.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're the Saints, if you're the Pelicans. It takes an entire city to win a championship. We need every one of you. And like I said, we're off to a great start, and we're excited. The place was electric. Great for the kids still to come out, play rugby out in the outfield, tailgating beforehand, second line parade, going from the party shack to your seats beforehand. The suites are open. Like I said, coming off great halftime experience as well, coming off our highest attendance for our opener as we've ever had. So exciting times. Professional sports right here still rocking and rolling in New Orleans, and we need you.
One of the things that I find interesting, because we were talking about whether it's suite life or coming out and having fun on that aspect of it, you have to take advantage as well, the weather, the way it is right now. I was telling that to some of those players that hadn't, gotten it. We've been blessed. I mean, look, obviously, and I thought it was going to be rainy today, nearly as bad as it's going to, but tomorrow should be another one of those days, Ryan, where it's you know, it's going to be beautiful to come out there tomorrow. It's going to be sunny. You know, it's going to be just beautiful out
there. Yeah, we were doing the guys that are not rostering this weekend, they do what's called a game replacement on Friday where they still get in the fitness and the cardio and some skills and all that stuff, kind of get the meters on their body. And some of the guys that have been here for many years were saying, hey, at least it's not May or June right now in New Orleans, because that is brutal.
Sticky.
To be doing. Yes.
Sticky and hot.
To be doing those on Friday.
Well, right now we're in the concourse, but I can promise you we will be in the suite or somewhere air conditioned.
Friday at high noon in June is a tough one. To
you
do
got
some
over there. You
got to
get a little office. And I'm not saying it because I see the beer signs over there. But I mean,
that's exactly why you're saying it.
I'm just saying. I mean, that looks nice and air conditioned.
Yeah.
It's closed, so that could be our summer setup.
And the fridges are stacked. You know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Well, I mean, Nick said we need to make sure that they're fresh.
Yeah.
You know, the freshness taste and all that. But
Nick's got a key. He'll get it. He'll get it open.
I love that. Yeah. We know a guy. One of the other aspects of it, too, when you take a look at the league here, we got about 4 more minutes, but I just want to kind of quickly touch on, when you look at, I know it's 1 week, and there's a lot of things that can happen, things of that nature, but did last week kind of go like you kind of thought it was? Were there any surprises? Were there any
First half, we didn't score in the first half, and we were kind of making some, you know, we had 8 penalties in the first half. I think it was a little bit of jitters, or not jitters, when I said, just excited. You know, trying to maybe do a little bit too much, trying to score a try in every single play when we can take the 10, 15 meters, take a line break and hold on to the ball possession and just, you know, chip away. I think when the guys went into halftime and Corey Brown and the captains and the team leaders kind of just took a deep breath and just let the game come to them, then obviously we did what we had to do in the second half. You know? Like Nick said multiple times, the guys that came on and the impact subs that came on in the second half were outstanding. You know, so that's exactly what you're expecting or you're hoping for in a perfect world for your subs that come on in that second half to make that impact. You know, going against guys that already have 50, 60 minutes into the game and they're tired, bringing on fresh legs and make an impact instantly, and they did. Obviously, you saw what Reese Bolton did. You saw what Bart Vermeulen did, and all the boys. You know, so that was massive. That was really Pat O'Toole as well. I mean, that was huge for us. So that's what we're expecting and hoping for right off the bat this week. We'd like to get, you know, obviously we want to get off to a better start than we did last week. A little bit of a slower start, but I think right off the bat, that first scrum, that first kickoff, we can set the tone early with the physicality, especially in the set piece in our scrums. I think we'll be all right.
And next week is your first road game.
Yes.
Where is that?
Shipping up to Boston.
To Boston.
New England Free Jets.
You leave Friday?
We leave on Friday. Yep. St. Patrick's Day weekend. That place is always a tough place to play. We're looking forward to go down there and kick the door down for them. You know?
Nice, man. So, well, maybe we'll come back here on Wednesday or something like that.
And sounds good.
Chat about it a little bit more here as well, as we're having some technical issues back there. The studios, so we're going to cut the show a little earlier than now. If people want to follow the NOLA Goldo, how can they do so? I mean, obviously, the websites and the social media platforms.
Yeah, so obviously, social media is Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Another place, if you can't make it out to the game, love to have you still, but if you can't, you can watch all our games for free, completely free, on the Rugby Network. Go and take a look. You can watch the whole entire MLR action on the Rugby Network. It's all for free. We want to make sure that's the goal of this league. There's zero barrier to come and be a fan. And you might be intimidated. You might be listening to us and be like, I don't know what rugby is. Guess what? There's about 2,500 people that might show up tomorrow that also is in the same boat.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
It's not.
Well, that's why I have you on. That's why I have Ryan.
Yeah.
On, you
yep.
know? Yeah.
It's not one that you
don't, you don't have to know every single rule of the game to enjoy it.
That's the goal, and that's why we wanted to do this year. We're going to be here once a week.
Yep.
You know, one way, shape, or form. We're going to talk to Coach on Wednesdays. Nick's going to come on Mondays. It's just the more you hear it, the more you get familiar. Look, I know it sounds crazy, especially with the season they're having right now. I do remember a time, believe me, when this team first got here from Charlotte, and I mean it, what basketball? What? Who's this and who's that? And now literally, it's going to get, hopefully where we get to your point. Everyone's a general manager. Yeah. Everyone's a head coach.
That's great.
You know, the plus minuses, the rotation should be this and all that. You know, and you love that. But I'm telling you, I did shows where people had no idea what roster, you know, and things of that nature. So, and now they follow the NBA. They know more about the game and do that. So, and that just comes from what my belief that I said at the time. You just have to present it, and you have to put it out there for people to consume. So we'll do
it. Yeah, and outside on a great day, like you said, on a Saturday, the excitement, the stuff that you can do at the stadium, you know, beers are flowing, great time. great atmosphere. Watching 23 guys wearing the NOLA Gold jersey, representing 15 different countries from around the world, and banging heads with Charlotte, and, you know, competing after them in a very fast-paced, intense physical game. Just because you don't know every single rule doesn't mean you can't have a great time here.
So. Sounds good. I'm going to pack up and head on over uptown New Orleans. If you're not busy, you can feel free to go. We're going to be over at Reds.
Okay.
It's Todd's Watering Hole for Pels. Watch 6. So we will be on the air at 5:30 over there doing pregame, halftime, and postgame and watching the game. Hopefully Pels get win number 38. They also play on Sunday. That would hopefully be win number 39 against Atlanta. And the reason that's a big number is that would be 14. I don't think they've ever been 14.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region. Now.